Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents
Payne and Pendergast,
presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, so Ross Tucker on his podcast had Jeff Zrebeliak. He's a Ravens writer, covers the Baltimore Ravens. Here was Zrebeliak on the Ravens drafting Kyle Hamilton and watching Jordan Davis go with the pick that the Eagles got from the Texans at 13. Because there's a lot of thought that Jordan Davis might be the guy the Ravens wanted. Instead, they get Kyle Hamilton. Here is Zrebeliak on that sequence of events.
Depends who you believe, Ross. I'm in your camp. I've had Ravens officials swear to me, though, that Kyle Hamilton was the guy at that point. And here it is. Thing is, you know, the Ravens stick to their board. People get sick of hearing it. They talk about it ad nauseum. I fully believe they had Hamilton ranked as a better player on their board. But sometimes when your rankings are close, if they're in a similar, you know, grade and all that, you go with the pick that's the biggest need. And Jordan Davis, they're trying to rebuild their defensive line in the offseason. So Jordan Davis was clearly a bigger need than safety, which is one of their deeper positions, to be quite honest.
Okay, so why is that important to Texan fans? Because they didn't wind up with either of those players. Well, the Texans had the 13th pick. They could have had either Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton if they wanted either guy. Instead, they moved back from 13 to 15, and both guys go off the board. There were a lot of mock drafts set that had Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton mocked to the Texans at 13. I didn't see any that had Kenyon Green mocked to them at 13. So why am I playing that? Well, the Texans' angle to this is I think Kenyon Green, if we get outside like the top 10, where there's pressure on all the guys in the top 10 because they're drafted so high, if you start to get to the meaty part of the first round, I do think there's a chunk in that middle of the first round where you got a lot of rookies that are in some pretty pressure-packed situations. And I think Kenyon Green, even though he plays a position that's kind of, I don't want to say invisible, but it's not one that the average fan sits down and watches guard play on Sundays. If Kyle Hamilton and Jordan Davis become real players in the NFL, and Kenyon Green becomes, I don't know, Xavier Suofilo, you know, where he struggles and just is just a guy who the Texans wind up moving on from in a few years, it's going to be a bad look for Nick Caserio. I think there's a lot of pressure on Kenyon Green. And maybe he's not feeling it, but just perceptually, because of the two guys that the Texans could have had instead of Kenyon Green, Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, that's look, chances are that at least one of those guys won't work out, Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton. I think that when it comes to the actual move of trading back, if there's one thing I've learned about the way GMs operate, a lot of GMs, especially in the draft, it's that when they're moving around in the draft, they're not necessarily doing it for one specific player. And I think it's too easy to say, well, the Texans moved back and they thought that they were going to get Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton, but then they got screwed. Like, no, the chances are that they basically had Kenyon Green ranked at about the same level as Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton. That makes the most sense. You wouldn't have made that move back unless you felt that way. And that when they made that move back, they knew that there was going to be somebody on the board that they actually liked and that they wanted at that spot. So that's where reaching a little bit for Kenyon Green, I guess, Sean, well, yeah, that could bite him in that it's the consensus and what the group think is that, like, well, I heard a lot about Jordan Davis, and I know a lot about Kyle Hamilton, and I don't really know much about Kenyon Green, so obviously that must not have been a good move. It's a kind of move also, Sean, that, like, if it works out really well and that Kenyon Green is good, people still really won't mention the fact that it was a good move for
Nick
Caserio.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like people wholesale are saying, oh, yeah, you know what? By the way, Brian Gain actually probably did the right thing in getting Titus Howard instead of Andre Dillard. And remember when we crushed Brian Gain for letting the Eagles leap over them to take Andre Dillard, how stupid he was?
Yeah.
Turns out that Brian Gain actually did the right thing there.
Yeah.
But he didn't want it to. That was just sheer luck. Or in fact, now the Texans, from what I've heard, who knows if it's true or not, but from what I had heard long ago was that they actually did like Tytus Howard better than Andre Dillard. Some of the stuff that Andre Dillard is Andre Dillard might not be about that football life. Like he's just not a guy that makes you feel like, oh yeah, this guy's all about ball. I think there were multiple teams that liked Tytus Howard more than Andre Dillard.
All right, so Kenyon Green, some of these other rookies taken, I think there's four right in a row right after Kenyon Green, Seth, that are first rounders who are under some serious pressure this year. Like, you're always under pressure as an NFL player, especially a highly drafted one. But the specifics of these four situations, 18, 19, 20, and 21, a guy we've talked about a lot, Treylon Burks, he might be under the most pressure of any of these guys in the first round, replacing A.J. Brown with the actual pick that they got for A.J. Brown that night. The headline on NFL.com when Treylon Burks, the wide receiver out of Arkansas, signed his contract earlier this week, Titans Inc. Brown replacement. I mean, that's A.J. Brown's one of the best young receivers in football. So, I mean, like Treylon Burks to achieve the expectation of Titan fans. I don't know what the expectations are inside the building of him early on, but I can guarantee you Titan fans who are rooting for a team that was the number one seed in the AFC playoffs last year, they're expecting him to replace A.J. Brown. They're expecting him to at least be, as a rookie, what A.J. Brown was as a rookie, you know?
Yeah, that's where, like, if Ross Blacklock had been a receiver instead of a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
You know, like, think about, we already talk about it, like, oh, yeah, Ross Blacklock, that's the guy that they took with the DeAndre Hopkins pick.
Yep.
It doesn't have as much cachet, like, it doesn't resonate as much when it's a different position, where if that had been a wide receiver, that would have been kind of a tough deal for that kid.
Yeah.
So that would have been, I mean, like at that point,
Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool. How would he have done with that entire situation? I don't think he ended up would have been. Chase Claypool has had a more productive career than Ross Blacklock has, but I don't think people would say that. You know, oh yeah, there's your DeAndre Hopkins replacement.
That's right. That's right. Yep. So Treylon Burks definitely one of them. The very next pick, Seth, your guy. Trevor Penning, who's already dealing with the fact that, according to the scouting report of Seth Payne, he's got a lot of work to do to become an NFL tackle. He's being drafted to replace Teron Armstead, who left the Saints to become one of the highest paid tackles in football. And I would say Trevor Penning is probably doing it with a quasi target on his back. Do you think some of the defensive linemen around football, do they follow things closely enough to know that this Trevor Penning guy has been talking about what a badass, mean MF-er that he is throughout all these scouting interviews and things like that?
I bet at least a few of them have. If I were a defensive line coach of an opposing team, I would definitely be showing some of the videos of Trevor Penning acting like a tough guy after Trevor Penning got his ass kicked.
Right.
Like, he'd get his ass kicked and then get up and, like, shove guys or throw them into his quarterback's knees or things like that. So I would do that. I think enough guys would be aware of it. I'm interested in the guys on his own team, those defensive linemen for the Saints.
He gets chippy during OTAs and stuff like that.
I'd expect there to be at least a report of at least a couple of fights with defensive linemen, because I've watched Trevor Penning, like, in the Senior Bowl practice, and this is where I first really started disliking Trevor Penning, was when it was one of the highlights they showed of Trevor Penning at Senior Bowl practice was of him driving another offensive lineman to the dirt in a drill, where, like, when you're doing drills with your own guys, like, as an offensive lineman, it's not supposed to be a competitive drill. Like, you're working technique where another a big doughy offensive lineman is doing some pass rush moves against you, and you're kind of keeping the right body positioning or using your hands. And Trevor Penning's driving this other offensive lineman to the dirt. That's a guy that wants to look like a badass in practice. And in the NFL, like, you're not supposed to go to the ground in practice.
Oh.
You're supposed to practice under control. You're supposed to, it's like sparring in boxing. Like, you try to get really good work in as fast as possible without, you know, without going to the ground or without, you know, landing an actual punch to the face or whatever. You pull your punches a little bit. So when Trevor Penning tries to act like an all-pro in practice the first few days, yeah, he's gonna get in a fight with either Cam Jordan or one of these guys.
Trevor Penning better be careful and know what team he plays for. That is the team that was involved in Bountygate. Trevor Penning might become the first player to ever have a bounty placed on him by his own teammates. They're going to have bounties in the defensive meeting room, and somebody's going to get $1,000 if they clip Trevor Penning's knee or drive him into the ground. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Bounties on teammates.
Though, it's the thing, this stuff, this is why I do get frustrated about guys like Trevor Penning, is that some coaches and scouts actually fall for it. Because they'll, in practice, this is what happens in practice. So you got these tempo rules in practice. You got to practice a certain way where get really good work in, but where, you know, where you're playing by the rules, which is when you're not going to go to the ground, there's certain stuff you can and can't do. Like, as a defensive lineman, if you're going to bull rush like crazy all the time, it's kind of dirty pool in practice, because the offensive lineman can't really do everything he would against a guy that's trying to bull rush every time. Likewise, with offensive linemen, like, if they lunge out with their heads down firing out at you, as a defensive lineman, you're not supposed to dump them to the ground the way you would in a game. So it starts to get really annoying over time, because, like, you're trying to keep your feet, but this rookie is, like, flailing all over the place playing recklessly. But some coaches and scouts don't understand that, and they watch the guy in practice, and they're like, wow, he's really getting after it.
This
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Boy, wow, he's scrappy. He loves it. And that's when the fights happen, is because, like, offensive linemen are dumb and stupid, and they're dangerous, and that's what Trevor Penning will be like.
Last one, Kenny Pickett. Rookies drafted outside the top 10 under the most pressure. Kenny Pickett is the only quarterback drafted in the first two rounds of the draft. He went 20th. The next one didn't go till pick 74. And he might be starting, Seth, for a team that last finished below 500. You know what year the Steelers last finished below 500? Care to take a stab?
Oh, it was Tomlin's never had a losing season.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. So his first year was 2007, so it predates that.
And Cowher, did Cowher even have rough years at the end, or did he just kind of fizzle out? I'm going to guess it's been 25 years since they've had a losing record.
In 2003, they were 6-10. But the to your point, Seth, to your point, the 2 years before, or the 3 years before that, 10-5-1, 13-3, 9-7. I'm trying to look. The last time the Steelers won fewer than six games, 1988. They were 5-11.
Oh, wow. Really?
The last time the Steelers won fewer than six games was 1988. I will point out that they are viewed by the odds makers as one of the seven or eight worst teams in football coming into the season, or at least one of the seven or eight longest shots to win the Super Bowl. Maybe that doesn't translate into having one of the seven or eight worst records. But the feeling is, you may win some games, but you ain't winning a Super Bowl with Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback.
Kenny Pickett or Desmond Ridder, who starts first?
Wow, Desmond Ridder. There you go, I'm putting it out there. Desmond Ridder, because Marcus Mariota is going to get hurt in training camp.
Very good chance he gets hurt. Yeah, and I do think you're right. Mitch Trubisky, they can run the Mitch Trubisky. They'll run a lot of the Mitch Trubisky type stuff that they did in his rookie year, where they feature him as a runner a lot, and he'll have some success, and they'll get by until they feel like Kenny Pickett's ready to go. Desmond Ridder, there's all kinds of reports about what a great leader he is with a rookie mini camp and all of this. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it's Des. I think it could be a Russell Wilson thing going on in Atlanta, where they draft him in the third. They bring in Mariota, like the Matt Flynn thing, and they draft Ridder in the third round. And they just look up and they go, this guy's a better football player. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. We've talked a lot about NIL today and college athletics and money. There's another story that's out now about, especially if you're a parent of a kid who's looking to get a scholarship somehow, there's a story about how kids may wind up getting their college paid for moving forward outside of football and basketball. It's an interesting story. We'll share it with you next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Darren Revell joining us, bottom of the hour. All right, Action Network, Darren Revell, who threw a first pitch at a Major League Baseball game. We'll find out how harrowing that experience was for Darren Revell.
Then I saw a picture of him in a Northwestern football uniform, too.
Oh, yeah? I think that's his alma mater.
Yeah, it is. Yep. But he was wearing a full uniform. No, like a full uniform.
Oh, really?
Pads and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to find out what that's all about as well. This was an interesting article you brought to my attention before the show, Seth. The United States military is considering a plan to fund athletic scholarships at the college level in exchange for mandatory service by student athletes. This is according to a report by Sportico. The proposal, which is being discussed by Department of Defense leaders and elected officials, comes amid the military's ongoing recruitment issues and a shrinking population of Americans eligible for military service. So I guess this is a way that they can help kind of build up the pool of potential soldiers for the United States here.
But it's a confusing concept, because at first, the first time somebody described it to me, I was like, yeah, like the military academies, right? Like, no, not the military academies, just random college athletes that I guess would have to qualify, you know, on some level. But like, it's in non-football and non-basketball sports that have limited scholarships, like wrestling. They only have a few scholarships on a wrestling team.
Yeah.
Baseball a lot of times has guys that aren't on scholarships. So you take those guys or women and basically say, okay, we're going to pay. It'd be like ROTC, where we're going to pay for your education. But unlike ROTC, you don't have to go to 4 days of classes plus like a Saturday once a month and all this extra time and drill work that ROTC people do. You just, at the end of your college career, you've got a 4-year service commitment. Which is, I think in ROTC, it's like an 8-year service commitment. So it's not an ROTC scholarship. It's just, it's an actual athletic scholarship. And so I was trying to put myself through this because I didn't have a college scholarship. I did school loans I had to pay when I got my signing bonus in the NFL. I think I would have done this in a heartbeat if that were offered to me. If it were like, okay, I get to play, I'll play sports. I don't have to pay for college. And I'll just go into the military for 4 years afterwards. Yeah, I'll do that. I don't think we were currently in any active conflicts back when I started school.
Back
so
in the
yeah,
mid-90s?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was right after
Desert Storm.
Desert Storm. Yeah. Before we had gotten into Eastern Europe necessarily, so we were. Yeah, yeah. I'd be in the clear. I'd be like, oh yeah. Well, there'll probably never be another war. I'll sign up for that, no problem.
It's interesting. Well, when you say it, my first thought is, okay, well, what if the NFL had come calling? But you point out, football and basketball programs would not be part of this proposal.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, I did point that out, and then I forgot about it. Yeah. It wouldn't have been available to me. Now, maybe if you're at a school that doesn't offer any athletic scholarships, because like the Ivy League, they don't offer athletic scholarships. Maybe they would actually offer it there for football.
Or Division II or Division III. Yeah. I mean, this is an initiative that could work at a school at any level. I mean, you're just the goal of the military, the goal of the Department of Defense here is just to get healthy, able-bodied people into the pipeline 4 years from now or 4 years from whenever they start paying for your education to then serve the military.
So they can get a pool of physically fit people who generally respond to discipline well. I think they probably figure like we can kind of maybe start elevating the pool of recruits by just getting, look, and it's 4 years. Well, you're still a young person by the time you get out. It's no big deal. It's like, Sean, it's the same thing as living off of a credit card when you're in college, you know, knowing that you'll get around to paying it off someday when you
right,
make more money.
Right.
Except now it's just that you've got the promise of free haircuts as well.
is that how we're looking at it?
Wait a second. You mean you're going to pay for my college and then I'll also get free haircuts?
Can
for
you
four
imagine
years?
If that was part of somebody's cost justification? I am going to save $20 every 2.5 weeks on a haircut. Actually, $20. My son comes at me sometimes for money for a haircut. Haircuts are expensive these days.
And I don't even know. Well, yeah, I don't even know. I assume you get free haircuts on the base. Maybe that's not the case. Text in 713-572-4610. Any of our veterans,
dude,
or current active service members.
When I saw this article and you sent it to me, as I'm reading it, the part where they talk about what sports this could impact and what sports are exempt is fairly far down the article. So I'm reading this thing for the first like 3 or 4 paragraphs with the idea like, oh God, here we go. This is the next area where the SEC tries to find some inefficiency in the marketplace. And now Alabama, A&M, LSU, they're going to have their 25 scholarship guys that they signed with normal athletic scholarships in NIL. And then they're going to have these 6 just like ungodly beasts that are getting ready to, that want to go into the military. But you know, they've got some football traits, but they don't have to count towards the scholarship limit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like this is, I'm like, and then I saw no football, no basketball. I'm like, thank God. The last thing we need is some rationalization from a head coach as to why it's a great thing that they're exploiting this loophole that the Department of Defense has created to supplement their roster.
Somebody said that the haircuts aren't free. I'm let down. I'm devastated. My fantasy when I go back in time and I join the military right out of high school, part of the appeal was like, oh yeah, I'll live on base. It'd be cheap as hell. I'll get free haircuts, free food, everything. I'll have a sick ass motorcycle. And now that I find out I got to pay for haircuts, 18-year-old Seth Payne is less impressed.
That needs to be our charity, Seth. You and I need to start a charity where we raise money so that members of the military don't have to pay for haircuts. It's like our buddy.
It's got to be at a discount.
Our buddy Jimmy Rogers, who has an awesome charity called Boots for Troops. He does an amazing job with. Jimmy used to be in the military, and he's a loyal listener to the show. He has some great events. Boots for Troops. You can find it online. His charity raises money for care packages for members of the military. Like literally with comfortable boots. Like if you talk to people in the military, they're like, man, there's a lot of things that are pretty harrowing about serving in the military. But one thing that's just a discomfort is your shoes, your feet, your boots, they get beat up, and you're always in a better mood when you got better footwear. So they do care packages that include boots and things like that. They raise money to do it. They've got all kinds of cool events. Payne and Pendergast, that's what we need. Cuts for Troops.
That is a really good charity. I'm not laughing at the charity. I'm laughing at somebody says, imagine the disappointment of signing up for 8 years, getting an ROTC scholarship, only to find out haircuts are not free. What a bummer. I'm not even joking. I would be disappointed.
Me too. I feel like that's part of the package.
The hair...
It's like a teacher paying for school supplies.
Somebody points out that I probably would have gone to Somalia back in 1993. That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a friend in college that was on the ROTC scholarship, and man, like he lived the life because I think he wanted to, he didn't have to pay for college. So his dad, didn't have any responsibilities. He didn't have any school loans or anything. But then he also had a really good summer job where he worked on a road crew and got it was like a union job, and he got time and a half overtime, and he got a ton of hours in the summer. So he'd work all summer long, like working ridiculously long hours, but he'd show up at school with no expenses because room and board were already paid for. And like a wad of like $20,000 of cash.
Making it rain.
And he lived the life. Yeah. And yes, he did have to go fight a war afterwards. But I think he would have done that anyway. ROTC scholarship was pretty badass.
Yeah. Me. Yeah. A lot of haircut talk here. The haircuts on the base are cheap, but the barbers also aren't barbers. I ain't a barber. I'm just a dude with a pair of shears. Sit down, Gus.
Yeah. We're getting a whole lot of, they're usually cheaper on base, but they tend not to be good.
Right.
I wonder
right.
if so. So that is, so guys are not only, they're not only not getting free haircuts, they're probably not even taking advantage of a discounted haircut, and they're going to get their haircut elsewhere
if they're
single. If I were married with kids, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead, hack me up. I don't care.
This is our mission, Seth. Me and you, we are going to make sure that the people in the military get their haircuts paid for. That's what we're here for.
Haircuts for heroes.
That's right. Yes, yes. Look at you. Not a marketing genius. All right, Darren Revell, Action Network. We will talk to Darren Revell, the latest on the gambling world, the latest on the experience of throwing out a first. Any advice Darren Revell has for people throwing out first? What?
Just military people are so funny.
Oh, they're the best. Now
the techs are getting. So. Oh, what is it? Yeah, but you get to wax floors on almost a professional basis.
All right. Save these texts.
I can't read a bunch of the other ones.
Save the readable ones. All right. Darren Revell next. Stay there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Thursday. It's Thursday, bottom of the 9 o'clock hour. And that can mean only one thing. It means we go to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline to talk to our friend Darren Revelle of the Action Network. Download the free Action Network app and track all your bets. And go to actionnetwork.com and get some great content and information. And be one of the millions following Darren Revelle on Twitter, at Darren Revelle. Darren, nice job on the first pitch this past weekend at that Mets game.
Yeah, you know, I should get some credit for some semi-athletic moment.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of people are disappointed. I had people saying, come on, you should have, you know, done a horrible thing. But, you know, the thing about me is I try. And that's what makes me me. So had a couple strategies, you know, was told don't stand on the mound because you'll probably throw it down. Have a high point of release. Go to the, you know, bottom of the mound and let it go. And, I didn't throw a strike, but I clearly got it, you know, pretty close to the plate.
Yeah. Was that your goal? Was your goal just to, my goal would be just to make sure I don't skip it up there or bounce it up there. Like just, if it looks like a normal throw where I'm playing catch in the backyard, I'm totally cool with that.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. That's where it was. I didn't want anyone. They're like, should I stand in front of the plate? I'm like, no, stand behind the plate.
Of course.
You know, but not looking to be a hero, get on the mound. They said you can't get on the rubber anyway. But that's kind of how it was. And then, you know, then if I did throw a horrible first pitch, then Steve Aoki the next day would have just totally outdone me anyway. And then I would have had a horrible first pitch seeking attention that would have lasted less than 24 hours.
Yes. You would have
got, it would be on the internet forever.
You would have gotten Farrah Fawcett'd. Remember the day Farrah Fawcett died? Everybody's like, oh, Farrah Fawcett died. I can't believe it. And Michael Jackson goes and dies the same day. Yes.
Yes. June 30th. 2000 and
eight or nine, somewhere in there. I remember being on the air.
Yeah, I want to say eight. Yeah. June 30th or July 1st. I remember I was in London.
Gotcha.
So that was that. And it, you know, it was kind of weird to have actually like done something semi good. I mean, because I think like 75% of people screw it up.
Yes.
You know, it's very highly screwed up.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I had extra pressure because there was a 7-year-old doing the first pitch after me. And I was like, oh my God, if I bounce it and this kid throws a strike, that would be just bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, outdone by a 7-year-old would be bad news.
Did you try to stare down the 7-year-old or anything? Yeah. Try to intimidate him a little bit?
No games. Cause you never know who's taking pictures. No games.
Yeah. Darren, look, yeah, that was obviously just, something you did for free. Whereas for money, you do things like break down the business of sports, all the finances, everything like that. And frankly, Nick Saban took a shot, not just at Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher, but I feel like he took a shot at the entire state of Texas when he whined and complained incessantly the other day about the fact that, according to him, Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies just bought their entire recruiting class. Where are you on Nick Saban, the great blame shifter, and all of this right now?
Well, obviously, you know, he wants to do it the old way, and the old way now everyone could show their cards, and he's just not as good at it yet. And so, you know, obviously he wants to do the old way, and you know, it's say he's doing it the new way. You know, Alabama is the only school that makes their players, when they're doing individual NIL deals, go through them because they want to see every deal. So in other words, if I'm a collective and I want to offer some guy a deal, I technically do not know if that guy and what the contract is for those guys in the, that guy's individual deals. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are not required to tell me if they don't want to. The companies are not. Now, the individual deals have to be filed with the school when they're done. But Alabama being the agent, the de facto agent of the individual NIL deals as well, sees the deals coming in, unlike any other school. So, you know, obviously, you know, Nick's trying to play this game. But you know, it seems like he's got a choice to either play this game or get out or leave. And I think there's going to be a lot of coaches. I think more basketball coaches than you can imagine, because if you can't play this NIL game in basketball, you got five players. People are going to play it spectacularly or don't want to get involved. You are going to see a record number of coaches retire in both football and basketball in the next 2 years.
Yeah, we're talking to Darren Revelle of the Action Network on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. We were talking about that earlier, just how the job now doesn't look anything like probably what these guys signed up for 5, 10, 20, 25 years ago. Like, it's just so different in the last...
They've made enough money.
Yep.
where they're just going to say, well, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. This is a different, you know, this is totally different. I just don't want to do this anymore. I can't play this game. You know, guy gets to be a better player than you thought he was. He has an agent. His agent is now calling the coach and saying, well, we're going to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't get 500 grand, we're going to enter the transfer portal. So, and, you know, it's crazy.
So
it's crazy.
Where does the rubber meet the road, do you think, then, Darren, in terms of the consumption of the product? Like, ultimately, if it doesn't affect the popularity of the sport on television and in the stands, then, I mean, those are the big things that the sport gets measured by. I don't know how heavily motivated people are going to be to make drastic change. Do you think that ultimately, if the environment stays the same way that it is, yeah, we might see coaches retire or coaches leave. They'll just be backfilled by other guys that want to make a seven-figure salary to do whatever the job entails now. But do you think that this is ultimately going to affect the popularity of the sport on television, let's say?
No. I think the first thing to do is, how long is this going to last? So Tennessee had a fundraiser. Clay Travis gets on stage and says, I'm putting 100,000 in. And, you know, reportedly they've managed to promise this quarterback from California $7 million. The question is, what is happening year two? Are these guys funding $50 million worth of commitments? Or is this going to come out of the gates and just sputter? What is going to happen in the locker rooms? You saw what happened in Miami, where the guy led the Miami to like the Elite Eight, and he's seeing that the booster on Miami is saying, we got this transfer from Kansas State, and I'm doing a 2-year deal for $800,000 plus a Porsche. And then the guy's agent, who was at Miami, goes to the booster, not even back to Miami, and says, we need more. I mean, the locker rooms are going to be decimated. Mm. So I think it's too much to say, like, what is going to happen. I think we have to see. The only thing I think is definitely going to happen is the NCAA is just not going to have much to do here, which is going to be unfortunate, which is going to be really unfortunate for them, because they made themselves a compliance enforcement organization that happens to run the NCAA championships. And if they do not do any sort of enforcement because they're scared, because they had the Supreme Court case that restricted earnings, they're just an event company where they're running 90 championships and they're charging $700 million for that a year. So for $7 million, all the Power Five should just get together and have an event company run it, because the NCAA has zero purpose now.
Yeah. Darren Revelle, Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Darren, before we cut you loose, you got any picks for the PGA Championship this weekend? A lot of people weighing in and gambling on that bad boy?
Let me save some people money.
Okay.
Not Tiger.
There you go. Well, the Tiger fans are going to – what is he right now? What's he on the odds board?
60-1.
Okay. Yeah.
50-1.
I feel like there's plenty of people will talk themselves into that. So
someone plunked down $20,000.
Of course. Of course they did. Darren Revell, Action Network. Is Mattress Mac on this thing at all? Do we know?
He probably is. Yeah. He's probably tilting every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. That's where we find Darren Revell, Action Network, noted first pitch thrower, Darren Revell, and actionnetwork.com is where you can find all the great content. Darren, we always appreciate the time and the insight, man. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
And if Tiger wins, you know, you're welcome to play that clip. You have rights to it.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Save this, man. Yeah.
Expose me. Expose me.
People will love that. All right, Darren, we appreciate you, man. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, take care. Darren Revell, always enjoy that. Boy, he is of strong opinion that there will be a wave of retirement among football and basketball coaches at the college level.
A day of reckoning is upon us, yes, Sean, yes, T. Pendergast.
Judgment Day, yeah.
I guess the question becomes, it is crazy how vast these changes are going to be, except, I think Darren said this, it's impossible to predict exactly how it's going to go. This could go 79 different directions from here.
Yep.
I think it's either there'll be some contraction, but then maybe like a redistribution and then an explosion piled on top of it's going to be a big old mess.
It'll be big.
But as long as coaches are, I don't know how many coaches are going to retire if the salaries remain somewhat similar. There's not a lot of other jobs you can take where you're making several million dollars a year. The question is, will college football be able to sustain that? Given the current landscape, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I think the thing he touched on is that a lot of these NIL, I guess day employers or what have you, the people that are paying the NIL fees, a lot of them are going to be let down after a year of, my guy transferred or my guy didn't show up to the appearances or just my guy sucks.
Or he sucks. Like,
yeah.
That's the most likely. He sucks at football. Like only so many of these guys are good. John Lopez, Landry Locker in studio. What do you have to say for your Aggies just going out and buying players, John?
This, get your popcorn ready.
Oh, okay.
Get your popcorn ready.
It is ready.
This is the most hypocritical thing Nick Saban has ever done.
Really?
Ever.
Okay, that's a long list.
Ever. Right.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay.
And I have examples of that.
Of course
you do. Including talking about his quarterback never even playing and earning $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he did, he did point out that his players have gotten their NIL deals after they were already Alabama students. So I guess that's where he draws a distinction. And so it's not like he's saying that NIL is wrong or illegal. He just doesn't like the way some other schools are doing
it. Yeah, for the first time in Nick Saban's life, and I stand by this, he's worried.
Mm-hmm.
He's worried.
He's worried that Jackson State is going to be able to outbid him on players.
Right. I don't think he's worried about Jackson State. I think he's worried about SEC team.
Yeah.
No. I'm pointing out how pathetic it is that he's complaining about Jackson State He talked about Jackson State. And then he's putting out rumors as like bona fide facts. There's your esteemed. This is the problem with football coaches when they start speaking in non-football settings. The level of arrogance for like a head SEC football coach knows no bounds. And they start delving into the legal realms and just botching things completely.
Did you see Longhorn and Sooner coming together last night on social media?
I absolutely did.
Landry Locker it was, and the Boz, the moment we never thought would ever happen.
It's inspiring. I covered the Boz. It was one of my favorite all-time stories when I went to Norman before the big Texas OU games when the Boz was there. And it was quite the scene, man.
Crazy. Figgy didn't know who the Boz was until Landry and I explained it to him on the way home.
He was Johnny Manziel.
We'll talk about NIL. Like, what would Brian Bosworth have made in NIL money back in the
Pick
day?
Pick a number.
Yeah. I mean, millions and millions of dollars.
By the way, Will Zalatoris is leading the PGA.
Is that your pick?
Leading the PGA after six holes.
Did you put your money where your mouth is on that?
I sure as heck did.
Okay, good.
Plus $3,500.
Plus 35. Okay, gotcha.
Put a hundo on it.
Okay, wow, that'd be nice. All right. Well, guess who's taking everybody to dinner if that baby
hits?
He offered to buy Figgy a trip to Vegas. So,
did you?
I'm gonna pay for his trip to Vegas.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's
really cool. All right. Well, I'm rooting for it. Not that I would root for it anyways, John, because you're my good friend. But now I'm really rooting for it because I like Figgy too. Did you have fun last night,
Lindy? I did, man. It was fun. Front row at a wrestling. That's like a bucket list thing. Yeah. I felt like a kid again. I had a very, very good time. I very much appreciate that. It was fun. The atmosphere was fun. Just a trip down memory lane, for sure.
Seth did it before, and he turned into a different guy. Like, Seth was standing over wrestlers, yelling at him and things like that. It was great.
It's Landry, it's sitting in the front row like that. It's I was kind of shocked and surprised at how absorbed I got in it. I felt genuine anger when the bad guys did bad stuff. It was they roped me right in. Those guys are better actors than you realize.
I was rooting for the bad guys most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big fan of the bad guys.
When the bad guys came out, the one bad guy, his name is MJF, he came out and cut a promo. And it was just classic cookie cutter stuff that a heel does when he goes to a town, talks about how horrible Houston is and how horrible the teams
what?
Are.
What?
Yes. Talked about how.
Son of a bitch.
He said, all right. He's like, yeah, it's great to be here in Houston.
Oh, God.
Sorry, this happens every time. And Landry could not stop. Landry was sopping it up with a biscuit. It was unbelievable. He loved every minute of it.
It was funny.
It was great. What's going on the show today?
All right, so we're going to rank the holy bleep factor. We got like 10 things that could happen before the end of the year. And on a scale of 1 to 5, what would the holy bleep factor be? For example, Ross Blacklock becomes a star. I think that's probably going to be a 5-7.
Oh, sorry.
Deshaun Watson flops, like all that type of stuff. We're going to rank the holy bleep factor. We got B. Scott coming by at 11 a.m. Obviously, Nick Saban has a lot of people in their feelings. Jacob Odorizzi, my God, he must have gotten some of that Kamu Grugier-Hill Jackie to be holy water because he's good to go.
Hands of God placed on old Jake Odorizzi's lower leg. Seth? Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, a pair of lift shoes to Nick Saban, and NIL deals for everybody.
There you go. All to on the house. There we go. And haircuts. And free haircuts for the military.
Free haircuts for the troops.
That's right, baby. All right, we're done. We're out of time. In the Loop is up next. We're back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Hell, read about it in the paper.
Anybody that thinks that's a nitwit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.